Texas postgame call-in show will be live from the Holiday Inn lobby. But more information, events tab at zone1150.com. There's more. I've talked about the Texan Stampede Tour coming through Bryan College Station on Sunday, August 30th. Yeah, they still are. They're going to do a little youth clinic down in Bryan. Then at 1 o'clock, huge autograph session at Academy. And then at 3 o'clock, you can watch the game with the Texans. They have their ambassadors, Wade Smith and Daniel Manning, coming in. Oh, yeah. And four Texans cheerleaders and Toro himself. And you can watch the game with the Texans entourage at the Wings and More on University Drive from 3 to 4 p.m. Autographs, photos, whatever, all at Wings and More University Drive, 3 to 4 p.m. on Sunday, August 3rd. For more information, where do you go? By now, you should have picked up on the theme here. Where do you go for more information? Events tab at zone1150.com. I'm out. I'll be back tomorrow. April Plemons, Long Way Home, Mitch Light of Athlon Sports, and I'm sure we'll hear from some coaches and players post-practice today. I'm out. This has been the Louie Belina Show, powered by teamofnavasota.com.
Listen to the Zone FM 102.7, Zone HD, a sports radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAgueland.com. This is KZNE, KNDE-HD3, and KNDE-HD4, K274-CM. College Station, Bryan.
Sports Flash.
Jay Berman, Rex Ryan, he's the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, as you know, and that's great if you ask Bills running back Fred Jackson. So, it's exactly what we did here at CBS Sports Radio this morning.
It's a tremendous feeling. It's one that we, like you said, haven't had in a long time, and go out and make some plays and make it all come to fruition. But it's a lot to be excited about, and we're looking forward to the season.
All right, the Bills will open the season with the Colts. By the way, you can listen to the entire interview by visiting CBSSportsRadio.com. Elsewhere, Giants quarterback Eli Manning ready for a contract extension. According to reports, the two-time Super Bowl champion wants to be the highest-paid player in the game. Of course, Mr. Gottlieb will have some thoughts on that. According to sources, Tom Brady plans to attend tomorrow's federal court hearing in New York, and the Steelers have released quarterback Taj Boyd. By the way, a minor trade to announce. New England traded offensive lineman Jordan Devey to San Francisco for tight end Asante Cleveland. Not exactly a blockbuster. Big NASCAR news today. Stewart Haas Racing announced it has signed Danica Patrick to a multi-year extension and primary sponsorship for 28 races a year. How about that? Baseball, the Indians and Red Sox continue their series tonight in Boston. Terry Francona taking care of good friend John Farrell today.
He mentioned that he was going to start Tuesday. I was like, man, I'm right there, man. I'll meet you there. I'll go with you, whatever. I said, I may not do anything other than get in the way like normal. But being a friend, the only thing I know how to do is be a friend.
All right, Farrell having chemotherapy for lymphoma. I'm Jay Berman.
We're talking football, lots of it. Expect it here, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Ziner with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM, brought to you by R.P. Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. Tomorrow, the Bryan Police Department will host this month's Coffee with a Cop. All community members are invited. It's from 8 to 10 at the Brazos Valley African American Museum. Grimes County Back to School Health and Safety Day is tomorrow from noon to 5 at the fairgrounds in Navasota. Free school supplies, health screenings, and door prizes. Call 936-873-3907 for more information. Registration continues for the Caprock ER and Cougar 5K Run, providing scholarships for College Station High seniors. More information online at cshscougarclub.com. Today, a slight chance of rain, mostly sunny and 96. Tonight, partly cloudy and 77. It's another spirit stop with the Zone and Buppy's Barbecue when Aggie Soccer takes on Northwestern State this Sunday night at 6. Stop by the Zone tent and register to win a Zone care package. For more information, visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
Here's an idea that will grow on you. The new greenhouse kit from Mueller. It's the easy, affordable way to nurture your flowers and plants all year long. And with four sizes to choose from, we can accommodate almost every gardening enthusiast out there. Thanks to the bolt-together design, it's very easy to assemble. Our sturdy galvanized steel frame and clear polycarbonate panels offer year-round protection from the elements, while a trim package comes in a variety of colors to complement your landscape. Don't let your hard work waste away while your plants are hard hit by unpredictable weather. Grow your own greenhouse today. Visit us online at MuellerInc.com to view our new greenhouse kits, as well as our do-it-yourself backyard kits and carports. Mueller has the ideal solution for the backyard storage you need, all in one affordable package. To speak with a sales representative at one of our 29 locations, give us a call at 877-2-MUELLER. That's 877-268-3553.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
Copy Bridge is an Aggieland tradition, serving their mouth-watering food for over 20 years to the folks of the Brazos Valley. And they want to invite you to enjoy a burger that you've come to know and love, which has been named Best of the Brazos for over a decade. And enjoy their award-winning goodness with $1.75 drafts all day, every Wednesday at both locations. Copy Bridge, serving Aggieland the best big burger in town for over two decades on Harvey and Welburn, both in College Station.
Your home for Houston Texans football. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation. Covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Aggie Nation. It's Aubrey Bloom and Robert Cessna hanging out, getting hype. I don't know why we're getting hype, but we're getting hype on a Tuesday. We got the show going up on a Tuesday. It's everyone famously. Big rap song. I know you're into that one, Cease. We're brought to you today by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Lots of great shows and cool events coming in, so check that out. Again, mscopus.org. You can call us 693-1150. You can text us at 229-1939. Your questions, your comments, your whatever you want to send us, 229-1939. Uri Gavin's going to join us in a little bit because the big national rankings came out, so he's excited. So we're going to let y'all talk about that. You know more than I do about the Bombers. So
great.
Y'all have got that. Sam Kahn is going to join us later on, talk about whatever he's been working on, his thoughts on the last couple weeks. And later on, we're going to talk about college coaches shutting down social media, whether we like that or not. Yeah, hey. Thought we'd bring that one up today.
But nobody could tweet us about that.
Yeah. You cannot tweet us. You can only send letters
or call us.
Yeah. No, you can only send letters.
Send letters.
Yeah, we won't get them during the show, but you can only send letters.
What's the next day we're off? Make it so they can arrive on that day. So
yeah, I think it's like next Thursday.
I think you're right.
Yeah, because the Rangers. So you know. There you go. Hit us up, 229-1939.
That's a full show. You and I can leave.
Yeah. I'm out of here. All right. So we have said that we don't see anything at practice. We've been telling you about that. Because people text in, how does so-and-so look? How does so-and-so look? The answer is, we don't know. We can only tell you what people have told us. And I frankly don't like to do that.
I don't get much out of individual drills when I watch Dalen Mack tackle a dummy. Yeah, I mean, literally a dummy.
Yeah. Yeah, and not me. And I mean an actual...
Yeah, an actual dummy. And I think even you would move more in a game than that dummy did.
Hey, compared to the tackling dummies, I'm essentially Johnny Manziel out there.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
So, but I say all that to say, we saw some stuff yesterday. We saw a few actual 11-on-11 plays. There was no tackling or anything.
As soon as they came out of that, and by the way, it started indoors. We went out. The weather was kind of
lightning.
Bad, so it started indoors, and they went outdoors. As soon as they went to, like, hey, this could actually be something, I quickly counted the players. And once I got to 8, I said, hey, man, they're going 11-on-11.
It was so we saw a little bit of something. I don't know what we saw. I mean, who knows? It's
yes, because at that point, you don't know what they scripted. We saw that both Kyle Allen and then Kyler Murray did, quote, a series, and then both stalled on third down, and they brought out a field goal kicker, which you can't kick indoors with the height or what have you. So that's what we saw.
Yeah.
That's what we saw.
But a few, I call them micro notes. They're not even
micro
like
notes.
They're not even like big enough to be full-on notes. But the plays we saw with the first-team offense involved both running backs. They were in a.
But you see, you don't know if they came out. That might have been.
Yeah.
You see,
that's what I'm saying. We don't know.
You don't
why.
Want to read into it too much because it could have been, since we hadn't seen that to start any practice yet, this might have been the day they start in two running backs.
I'm just saying we barely saw that at all in the regular season last
year.
Well,
I agree. I agree.
Well, I guess what you'd call a 20 personnel,
but you
two
knew
backs, no tight ends.
It was going to change under Christensen. They were going to have more running packages, and you're going to see more of them.
We saw both, like I said, both White and Carson were on the field. And we've seen from the practice, you know, that they showed that 12thman.com has put out their highlight videos and stuff, and we've been seeing a lot of. Read options, whatever you want to call that. A lot of, you know, sweep options and those kind of things.
Get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quick.
Yeah, we saw that yesterday, too. We saw it moving around a little bit. The thing I noticed when I went back and watched the film that we were getting is a lot has been made of the Brandon Williams switch. Is it working? How's he doing? Is he going to play? He was with the first team defense yesterday. Now,
but once again, I don't want to read anything into it because if I'm Kevin Sumlin and Terry Joseph and they decide to make this move, I think they made this move to give every chance for Brandon Williams to be a starter. So the only way they can build up his confidence and make him a starter is to put him in position to be a starter, particularly for the first few scrimmages. So I don't want to read a lot into that.
No, I'm not saying he's going to start against Arizona State or anything, and frankly, I don't expect him to. But and they didn't throw to his side, but compared to the absolute nothing that we had seen before that, I was pretty impressed. He turned and ran pretty well, stayed with the receivers, looked the part.
I think on Friday night, my first question to someone's got to be, what did the NFL scouts saying about Brandon Williams? Just go ahead and get that out of the way.
See what they say. No, we saw him a little bit.
Okay, the thing that caught my eye was I actually happened to be down there right when it started. I had a pretty good...
lucky. I was on the other end of the field.
Right, the McFerrin Center is pretty... tight, so you're on that side, and I go, wow, because I was there at that point. Before that, I was watching the kicking game. Now that's always really exciting to watch.
I wouldn't, say exciting.
Someone to throw a ball downfield after, you know, and watch Banks just go ballistic because one of the players didn't get his imaginary block or whatever. So that's real hard for me to get excited about that. So then you go to these plays, and by the time you joined me, I was very. I've not seen Kyler Murray live in person.
Yeah, he's fast.
So he is faster than fast. He's he's faster than Sunlink, which, you know, some people might say not says so much in certain days. But that being said, is you always have to remember the context he's in. Okay, he's in with some second stringers, I just noticed coming around the edge once, gone up right up the gut. He's fast. He can cover a lot of ground quickly.
Well, and he's short, so he accelerates quickly.
Right, exactly. He can plant and go. And of course, I'll throw it out there like everyone does. It's hard not to mention Johnny Manziel. And I always have to laugh. And I caught myself last night driving home at one point. I'm laughing. I say, well, okay, how many times have people used the word every year? Johnny Unitas, Brett Favre. When you're in that situation, well, now when you're an A&M quarterback coming up, if you're small – and athletic, Johnny Manziel's there all the time, baby. Now, Allen is lucky in the fact he doesn't have, he's not going to be compared to, oh, he's another Johnny Manziel. No, not even close. He's more like a Dan Marino type. But if you're small like.
He's more Tannehill than Manziel.
Yeah. Oh, man, Manziel. And then people go like, ooh, Heisman, beat Alabama. You know, it's like, you know, people are saying, okay, next year he beats Alabama there, sophomore, Heisman, here we go.
Yeah, and he was quick, though.
I just saw two plays. You know,
saw three plays. He handed it off once.
Yeah, exactly.
He got a pass knocked down at the line of scrimmage, and he ran for about 20 yards.
Got pass
told
knocked
us all
down.
We needed.
So, and then I said to myself, I just laughed. I go, okay, that's better than watching the punting team, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was something to move around a little bit. Like I said, he is.
But I don't know if we can talk about that.
He is quick.
Oh, he's very.
It was because we haven't seen him in
person.
He's
quicker
really.
Than my water spigot at the house. I gotta wait for water.
hadn't seen it much, so that was something. Like I said, just a little bit out there yesterday. One thing that I got to see that was kind of cool, because I decided you kind of have to decide what you're going to do before it starts. If you're going to try to film defensive tackles, you've got to know that going in.
You got to go for Williams. You got to go for the quarterback.
Yeah, what are you doing? So I had decided I was going to go with the defensive line. Mm. And so I was down there when they were working on their, you know, kind of, I don't know what you call that, but like individual drills. And I got to see something pretty cool because normally, and it's going to sound pretty lame, but the reason it's cool is because we don't get to see this coaching staff coach much.
Coach.
Yeah, because we don't get to see much of practice. And then during the games, we're way up in the press box and we can't hear him or see him or anything. So, I got to sit down there for a little bit, and they were working with Kingsley Keke, the freshman defensive tackle, who you can tell has some natural ability. He's big and strong.
Has ability.
But doesn't get the technical aspect of it yet. And so I got to see, while they were working on all the special team stuff, and y'all were waiting that out, I got to see everybody from other linemen help him out. In fact, Alonzo Williams was showing him a lot of pointers, and so was not Julian Obiora, but one of the other upperclassmen, defensive linemen. We're working with him on everything from how you set your feet to where you put your hands to, you know, how you hold your offhand and your stance and everything. And it was kind of cool just to see him dive. And, of course, Terry Price was down there, too, the D-line coach, just actually going through the fundamentals of playing defensive line because we don't get to see that very often. And it was pretty neat.
Well, and I went by there maybe coaching for a minute, and I think it also was in Friday. You know, Terry Price can be pretty animated in practice. He was pretty good these last couple of days I've been around him. He was doing some hands-on voice coaching. Let's put it that way.
Well, I'll put it this way. You can't – if you're going to do a defensive line video, you can't use the audio. You've got to either mute it or edit it on your own.
Terry was getting after it. Terry was getting after it.
Yeah. But it was good yesterday, like I said, to see him out there and working on some of the specifics. The other end of that is you can tell by the way they're working with a guy like him that he doesn't quite have the fundamentals down. It's the opposite with Dalen Mack. This guy's got the fundamentals down. I mean, they're working on different stuff with him. I mean, every time he comes through on one of those drills, Terry Price gets excited and jumps up and down and says, you know, mm-hmm. Good. Move on to the next guy. And that was pretty interesting, too, because that tells me a lot that they like where Mac is from a fundamental standpoint, because that's one thing you worry about with freshmen.
Yeah, that's true. But once again, is when I look at him, I still think he's got to shed some pounds. I don't know how many plays he can play, but, of course, the season is still quite a ways off. And even after the Arizona State, you have a couple more games before you play Arkansas. So, long time.
You know, we've gone back and forth at different times. I don't think he's as heavy. I mean, he's as heavy, but I don't think he's as carrying around that much unwanted weight. Could he lose a little bit? Probably, but I don't think it's going to bother him.
You're right. I don't know that. When I look at him, I think he could lose. I'm just saying is when I look at him and I watch him move, I'm trying to say to myself, okay, you're going to be hit by one or two guys, plays.
Yeah, and the good news is he doesn't have to play 50 snaps.
Correct.
He's not going to play that much. So
correct. If I'm a betting man, which I am, I'm betting he's not in shape right now.
See, I think he's close. I think he's real close. I just think he's going to be big his whole time. I think he's that kind of body. But he could, like I said, he could stand to lose a few pounds. But I think he's a little closer than some people think.
And for a lot of times, as I can remember, people like Casey Hampton or certain people always look like they were out of shape, but they weren't.
Hampton-ish.
There are some people that have always looked out of shape, but they weren't. So we'll see. And I don't know. I'm not a coach.
He is a little Casey Hampton.
And I'm not with them the whole practice.
Yeah.
So they know how it goes hard at the beginning and at the end. And now you're going to tell a lot more because they're putting the pads on.
Yeah. So there you go. Just a few things from yesterday. Hit us up, 229-1939, if you have anything specific you want to talk about. Let's go to break and go ahead and come back and get Uri on the phone. We'll talk about the national rankings for the coming in for the Bombers, all that kind of stuff. And then we will be joined by Sam Kahn. So send us your questions for Kahn if you have those as well, 229-1939. We're going to go to break. We'll be back. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Texans are teaming up to reduce teen pregnancy.
We're teaming up by starting the conversation.
We're teaming up to educate our community.
We're teaming up to mobilize a coalition.
When it comes to reducing teen pregnancy in our communities,
we're teaming up to make a difference.
OurTownForTeens.org is helping communities all over Texas reduce teen pregnancy by putting the resources you need at your fingertips. OurTownForTeens.org. Team up. We can do this.
It's summertime and a great time for sizzling hot deals at Norman G. Tractor. If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Norman G. Tractor. At Norman G. Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. Norman G. Tractor has the new Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot land price shredder, and box blade with teeth. Priced with an incredible $800 finance rebate, $700 implement rebate, and a $500 cash rebate, making your price only $18,395 or $241 per month. Norman G. asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Norman G. Tractor is aggressively pricing all equipment bought with your new tractor, so now is the time to make the drive to Norman G. Tractor. Voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials too at normangtractor.com. Norman G. Tractor, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G., Texas, and remember, nobody beats Norm G. Tractor.
Give your truck authority. Texas Truck Riggins will help you hook up your rig the way you want it with a wide variety of truck accessories, spray-in bed liners, grill guards, toolboxes, goosenecks, and more. The best products well within your budget. We can also powder coat patio furniture, old iron beds, and wheels, just to name a few. All with quick turnaround and straightforward answers to your questions. Visit Texas Truck Riggins on South College Street across from the Lake of the Bryan Municipal Golf Course. Find us on Facebook or visit us at txtruckriggins.com.
If you watch TV, listen to the radio, go to the movies, or simply hear people talking, you hear about prescription drugs and their effects. Sometimes these are portrayed as safe or as something that is meant for a good time. Actually, nothing could be farther from the truth. Prescription drugs are prescribed by a doctor with one person in mind and one reason in mind. That reason is to treat someone for an illness or injury. If you abuse your or someone else's medicine, this could be a prescription for disaster. For more information, call 979-846-3560.
The Houston Texans Stampede Tour stopping in Bryan College Station on Sunday, August 30th, thanks to Wings and More, and of course, The Zone. Texans ambassadors Wade Smith and Daniel Manning with Toro and the Houston Texans cheerleaders, they're going to hold a youth clinic in Bryan, have an autograph session at Academy. Then at 3 o'clock, you can watch the Texans Saints game at Wings and More with the entire gang. The Houston Texans Stampede Tour stops in BCS on Sunday, August 30th. For more information, visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
Last it all.
Robert Bloom, Robert Cessna. We're joined now by Uri Geva with the Bombers, who's here to talk about their, well, Cease, I'll let you set this up. They are the national rankings, according to who, Uri?
Is this Perfect Game come out today, Uri, or is this?
No, the Perfect Game hasn't come out yet, but this is the College Summer Baseball Rankings. It's a group of baseball scouts that has 10 to 15 different people from across the country voting, and they put it all together, and they have their final national rankings for 2015.
And they would be They have the Bombers.
So they listed the Bombers as the third best team out of 420 teams across the country, the highest ranked out of the Texas Collegiate League. The first place team is the Kenosha Kingfish from the North Woods. They finished with 52 wins and won that league hands down. The second place team is the Yarmouth Dennis Red Sox from the Cape Cod. And then yours truly, the Brazos Valley Bombers. So pretty amazing accomplishment for our guys this summer to get ranked that high, and thrilled to be on the national scene again. And that's three consecutive years with the top five finish by the different polls out there.
Now, Perfect Game, they talk to them. Will they come out with national rankings at some point?
They said that they will finish with what they did last year with Team of the Year plus others for consideration over the top six. And we will be in the top six is what they've said. They've released the top prospects of the TCL, and the Bombers were listed, of course, as the with the most on there, and kind of talked about a bunch of our guys.
Now, what about, you mentioned the Northwest League. Everyone associates with the Cape Cod League. Could you fill us in a little bit? Is the Northwest League?
Northwoods League.
Is that
I believe they have 16 or 18 teams. They've been around for about 22 years, I want to say. They do. They always are in the top rankings when you look at the summer collegiate attendance records. They are typically dominating of that league. They have the first, the third, the fifth, the sixth team in attendance. The Bombers obviously finished 15th in attendance this past season in the attendance ranking. But that league is known for great crowds, great entertainment, and some great baseball, and typically has been ranked the second best league after the Cape Cod. So surprising to see them. I think it's because the favorite Cape Cod teams that had the best record throughout the year, the Orleans Firebirds, lost and didn't make it to their championship round, and so that allowed for the Northwoods team to take over.
Okay, congratulations to the Bombers on their fine season. We talked to you last time, and now with the rankings coming out, and maybe you've had more talk, and I guess, you know, my question is, your second-place team, whether you go with Cadiana over Victoria, probably not ranked in the top 25, I'm guessing. Have you talked since we were last on the show, talk to your owners about moving forward so that your league, the Bombers, as you mentioned, all this success now, three, four straight years in a row, but now, as you mentioned before, have you had more conversations about raising the image of the league from top to bottom?
Absolutely. So we visited about that. We've talked about some improvements on the recruiting side. How can we help each other? Some things that we need to do on the social media circuit. Apparently, the college coaches are all over social media, and as a league, we did not do a good job this year. Mm. I think the Bombers did a phenomenal job on our social media presence, but the league kind of we didn't put enough effort into it, and so therefore the results weren't as great as we wanted to. So we're going to put some more effort into the branding of the league, the look and feel, the social media. Those types of elements seem to be important to, I guess, the college coaches as they send people out, because in essence, they're not down here at the ballpark. They're not seeing the attendance. They're not seeing how the coaches take care of them, how BP goes. They just see the websites and the social media, and they're kind of making a lot of judgment calls based on that. And so obviously, with the league having a relationship with Infinity, my company, we're going to make sure we take good care of them and up the ante on what we do for them on the website and social media.
Interesting. You talk about presence on the social media, because as I talked to you last, we actually print the Conroe paper. And I was looking over some past issues, and I think the Conroe Courier, midway through the season, started covering the Woodland Strikers much more. They had a change down there, I think, in sports editors or what have you. And they really covered most of the Woodland Strikers home games. I know the East Texas Pump Jacks, being up in Tyler, get good coverage. You get coverage here not only from the newspaper, but the radio stations. I don't know, can't speak for Cadiana, which would be the other team along with the Marshals. But as far as that's concerned, I would think you get this league gets pretty good coverage.
We get incredible. We're truly blessed with a lot of great media partners here in the Brazos Valley, obviously with KBTX, KCEN, Brian Broadcasting, and the Eagle all doing a great job covering us. And the same as in Victoria and in Lafayette. They do get tremendous amount of coverage, and then Tyler and Conroe covering the Woodlands. So we are getting that type of coverage, but the college coaches aren't going to the Eagle. Unfortunately,
sure.
to read
sure.
their news. They're going to Twitter.
Yeah.
And so they've been following the Bombers. They know how good we are, and they follow some of the teams, but they look for the league to have a bigger presence. And I think that's how we're going to up our ante for next year. Obviously, still looking at a couple of new ownership groups that we'll hopefully announce before the month is out. And that will be exciting as well as the league gets stronger from better owners and a variety of cities for these kids to play at.
Good point. Going back to the college coaches, which I want to keep on as well. When you have the college coaches, and a lot of times they'll say, like, I'm sure whether it's Rob Childress or, Paul Menary, or I'm not staying at LSU, and say, okay, am I going to send my guy to Katy Ann? I'm going to send my guy to the Brazos Valley Bombers. What is the caliber of players day in and day out from the Woodland Strikers? What's it from East Texas? That being mind is, would they like to see your league maybe add one or two more teams to have more teams where you get more collegiate players? Or what about the size of the leagues in regards to what the college coaches are looking for?
Well, I think they're looking for a competition, so they're wanting probably, if I'm them, I can't speak for that, never coached in college, but I would venture to say that they would want they want repetition for their guys, so they, in essence, get an extra year before they come back to the school year, but they also want to make sure that there's some balance, and obviously we've been very haves and have-nots in the last couple of years with top three, four teams versus the last couple. And so we would hope to strengthen the bottom teams to get them to be, you know, 500 ball. Obviously, that's going to take away some of our wins. But I think overall, it's not the size of how many teams you have. I think it's about the quality of those. How many great pitchers can you have? How many great batters? And that's what we're going to continue to focus on, getting better talent for everyone in the league.
And that being said, is when you had to draft, and a lot of times players will use a TCL or use their summer league, try to increase their value. I noticed the Woodlands catcher, I think he signed with the Dodgers after a couple weeks or 3 weeks. Did the league lose a lot of players after the draft this year, or was it about normal?
Normal is every year. Maybe more noticeable because it's now more diverse. In essence, it's not just the Bombers and the Generals and the Pump Checks that are getting players drafted, but you're seeing that all across the league. And so it definitely hurts the teams that don't plan for it. And I think that was the case with the Woodlands and the Marshals, losing guys to the draft, losing guys to transfer. And then at that point, they didn't replenish their roster as well as we did. No, and it's all about the planning. So we knew in advance we're going to lose guys. We don't know how many. We don't know who, but we know we're going to lose 10% of the roster to the draft. We're going to lose 10% of the roster to ineligibility that might happen in the spring. 10% of the roster is going to turn over for kids moving from one school to another. And so you know you're going to lose 30% of your roster. If you don't pre-plan for it, you're going to be stuck in a jam. And I think that's what happened with both the Woodlands and the Marshals this year, not pre-planning to have those drop-offs as they happen.
Well, third in the nation. So I guess, do you give all your workers a holiday today or tomorrow, or how's that work?
So they had Thursday and Friday off last week, and now we're back into 2016. You got to plan that season. We've got our season ticket renewal going on right now for any of our current ticket holders, and working to make sure our sponsors are happy and want to come back for another great summer of fun. And it will be our decade season, so lots of planning to do to make sure that the 10th anniversary comes off bigger than ever.
There we go, Uri. I know we'll all be looking forward to it. Thanks for coming back on and updating us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for all the coverage this summer.
No problem. Y'all take care, Uri. Number three in the nation.
It's not bad.
Cape Cod North Woods League. I'm not familiar with North Woods League. I've done a little research on them, but the Cape Cod League is, Uri's promoting. He's unbelievable when it comes to promotion, whether it's the Bombers or TCL. But what I've noticed is they do have strong franchises in East Texas. Katy Ann appears strong. Victoria is certainly strong. The Bombers. Now, if they could get those teams to have a little more talent, because when you look at it, it's all about talent. And to me, the good and bad news is the Bombers' far superior talent
game in and game out over a 60-game schedule, now it's up to the other teams to pick up the pace, because you're only as good as, you know, you can have one bad team. But, you know, to me, in a six-team league, if you have a couple teams or two or three teams struggling, that makes it tough to say your league is solid from top to bottom.
If there was a college league playoff, the Bombers would be in it.
Oh, without there a doubt. And then
number three, they'd be the three seed.
And, of course, don't want to laugh, but as soon as we were talking about the Bombers, how good they were doing, our editor asked, well, do they go on and play in a national tournament? Maybe Ernie needs to work on that.
There you go.
If you get the top four or top eight to go somewhere centrally located. But once again, with school started,
it seems difficult.
It can't do it. But at least
it's a good idea.
Maybe he needs to do it online somehow, you know, since he's so good with computers.
Have the stat guys do it.
Plug it all in. And then plug it in and have it online.
There you go. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Sam Kahn joins us. Let's talk a little more Aggie football. Send us your questions, 229-1939, or whatever y'all want us to talk about. We will get to it. So let's come back. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Back to school starts next week, and Texas 211 manager Missy Mora reminds you their services can help.
We do have some things for back to school if parents are still looking for those last minute shots, if they're looking for school supplies, backpacks, doctor appointments, physicals, that sort of thing.
More information is online at 211texas.org. 750 truancy cases were filed in Bryan ISD last year. Superintendent Tommy Wallace addressed the topic last week on WTAW's The Infomaniacs.
The bottom line is, in Bryan, we need our students in school, whether it's Bryan, College Station, Navasota, Hearn, we need the kids in school. When you look at attendance rate and then you compare that to academic success, you're going to see a correlation. And the more kids are in school, the better.
Wallace says the new law aims to keep students' records clean and decriminalizes truancy, making it more of a civil violation or ticket. Members of the state legislature from Brazos County will answer your questions at Thursday's Chamber of Commerce Economic Outlook briefing. Chamber President Royce Hickman says Senator Charles Schwartner and Representatives John Rainey and Kyle Cassell are scheduled to appear.
They'll talk a little bit about the completed session, but also what's going on over in Austin now, because as you know, there's still a lot of things going on over there.
Tickets for Thursday's luncheon and more information is online at bcschamber.org. Lobster, alligator, and buffalo fried delicacies are among the eight finalists for this year's State Fair of Texas Best Tasting and Most Creative Foods. Winners will be chosen August 30th. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
There is so much happening in Aggie football this fall, you need to be attending the best live show around to stay up to date and on top of all things Aggie football. It happens every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap, and it's called the Belucci Hour. Get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texags Radio every week, twice a week this fall. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $7.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles. Make the Belucci Hour lunch a part of your week every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1.
The Cherry Rufino team, buy or sell with me and use my moving van for free. Go to cherryrufino.com.
Hot is here. What did you expect in the Brazos Valley in August? But Rattlers has great food and drink specials to fill you up and quench your thirst. Check out these great specials. Jimmy Dean Blazing Hot Sandwich and any size fountain drink or coffee, only $2. Or a fully loaded ballpark hot dog, only $1 with your registered Rattlers Rewards card. Be sure to stop by after work for an 18-pack of ice-cold beer from the fine families of beer from Bud, Miller, and Coors, only $15.99. Rattlers. Friendly, clean, Texan.
Every driver has met that guy. You know, the guy who cuts people off and doesn't care what anyone else thinks. That guy who refuses to come to a complete stop at a stop sign because he always comes first. If you've never met that guy, think about it. Maybe it's because you are that guy.
Aggressive drivers, they aren't just rude, they can be deadly. Be safe, drive smart. This message sponsored by TxDOT.
This is the Zone FM 102.7 Sports Radio 1150.
By the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Sesta, and as we are most every Tuesday during the season, we're joined now by Sam Kahn.
First name, Sam.
Yeehaw. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Sam, how are you?
Samwise the Brave.
Last name, Kahn.
Kahn.
Sam Kahn.
Thank you.
Am I am.
I want to hear more about Sam.
The roughest, toughest He-Man, stuffest hombre has ever crossed the Rio Grande.
Now, Sam Kahn.
Sam, how we doing?
Good. How are you guys?
We are getting through one more week without any football. High school, of course, getting started next week, so we're counting down the days. Sam, I didn't even write down anything to ask you other than the first question, the thing I want to ask you first. Is you've been around Sumlin longer than anyone else on the beat has, other than maybe some people that work down in Houston. But where do you get any sort of read off of him as far as how confident he is in this team, where he thinks they are at this point, or anything like that?
You know, that's an interesting question because I feel like I get a better read after the first game. You know, it's easier to say that. But like last year, I thought he exuded a tremendous amount of confidence after that initial win because I think you guys were there. You remember he was silent, like very silently, you know, confident in a way. Like I remember him talking about them not being a one-trick pony. It seemed to me like there was a certain edge to him because, you know, he was dying to, you know, prove that they were going to be fine without Johnny Manziel. And then, of course, you know, in the middle of the season, everything fell out. You know, it just didn't work out very well. I will say that I do think that he feels pretty good about this group. And I think it starts with the defense because having John Chavis there, and when you see the talent level raised, is better than it was, you know, when he first got here overall in terms of just the types of athletes they're putting on the field. And the depth is improving. I mean, the depth on the defensive line is probably better than it has been, at least in the three years I've covered this team. So I think there is some confidence, but I think it's a quiet confidence because you're not going to hear him talking about them contending for an SEC West title or all that. But I'll tell you what, if they do start 5-0 again, I can promise you he's going to have some subtle comments that tell you, you know, that he's been paying attention to how much they've been overlooked in the offseason.
That being said, Sam, I think that he does, and this is my read into it, he does drop a little reminders. He keeps talking about winning 28 games in 3 years. People will be happy about that. He's dropped that about three times at events or press conferences I've been at, and it's true, but I think, you know, Manziel was such a hype, and then last year we all point out that's the least amount of wins. And I think sometimes he does feel like, hey, guys, I won 28 games, and most people thought we might only win 18, 19. I don't know if that's me, but I think he keeps dropping that a little bit as to say, hey, we're doing pretty good, but maybe that's my read into it.
No, he does. I think you're absolutely right about that. I think that when he drops that little comment, and like you said, he said it multiple times, I think he's reminding people, hey, that we've done a decent amount. I don't really like the 28 games comment, though, because let's be honest, man, how many of those are garbage non-conference games?
Yeah,
you know, how many of those are Lamar and Rice?
So I don't like it
South
either.
South Carolina State. The bottom line is they've won, what, 13 SEC games. They were 6-2 the first year, 4-4, and then 3-5. What matters to me is that they have not finished above tied for second in the SEC West. That's what matters to me. And last year they finished, you know, way below that. So that to me is what the ultimate barometer is. I don't care how many games they win. I care how many SEC games they win. I'm giving someone, and they've been in a downturn in that department because they only won three last year. So I think that's what's more important. But there's no doubt. I think he always does that. So that's something that Kevin always does. Kevin always has something that he wants to remind reporters that they got wrong. You know, whether it's declaring Jamel Showers a starter after spring of 2012,
there you go,
or them getting their heads beat in, which they did in the first year. Kevin always has something he wants to remind reporters that they were wrong about, and I think that's one of his favorite times in dealing with the media.
See, I mean, the first hour, Aubrey talked about it, and I know you and Aubrey have touched on this, and maybe you had more expertise and seen it. But, you know, yesterday I saw, you know, Kyler Murray for the first time live, and I was pretty blown away about how fast he is, how good he is. And then I'm thinking, once again, when you look at him and Allen, what competition. I mean, how does A&M handle that? How does Spavital and Sumlin handle that to get the most out of it? It seems to me it's a great win situation. I mean, they just should be just loaded for bear at quarterback.
You think that, but remember, I mean, we're in a culture now where winner starts, loser transfers. So not to say that Kyle Allen or Kyler Murray would transfer after the season, because I don't, even no matter who starts, I don't think that'll happen. I think another season or another spring and maybe a training camp would have to go on before we got to that point. But it's tricky. Kyler did not come to Texas A&M to sit on the bench. You know, that's the bottom line. And Kyle Allen deserves to start based on his performance at the end of last season, the momentum he's at, and the fact that he's put in the time. He's put in two full off seasons working on this offense. He's become a leader of sorts. I mean, at least based on what the coach staff says, he's become a leader on this team in the off season. You know, getting guys together and being a vocal guy in that offensive huddle. And I think it's hard for a guy as talented as Kyler is to come and unseat someone like Kyle, who has a little bit of experience under his belt. Not to say it's a ton of experience, but, I mean, even Johnny Manziel redshirted. I mean, let's be honest. It's difficult to expect Kyler to come in and start with so little experience. That said, he's a dynamic talent, and you're right. He's tremendously athletic for that quarterback position. He's fun to watch. And I think people forget how good a passer he is because of his athleticism, because he's really good with his feet. But, you know, he's way more polished a passer than someone like Johnny was coming out of high school. I mean, Johnny was a really good athlete who could throw the football, but I think he was raw in some aspects. I think Kyler's really polished in that regard. I don't think Kyler's going to start, and here's why I think that is, because when you heard Spavital talking about breaking up the reps and giving Kyler and Jake Kubenak more reps in the scrimmage on Saturday, that tells me they need to see more of those guys. And that tells me that if they don't need to see that much from Kyle Allen, they're comfortable with what they have with Kyle Allen and that comfort level. Because if the competition was really going to be that close, and maybe it is, I don't know, but from what I read, you know, in the body language and the words and you know, just the vibe of the, you know, around the program, is if it was really that close, I think you'd be seeing Kyle just reps a little more evenly in a scrimmage situation, because then you'd want to see how Kyle's live action compares to Kyler or Jake. And I realize he has a lot stocked away, but I just think it's going to be hard, just because it's just so little time. There's only 3 months that he's had, essentially, Kyler, 2.5 months, to make up a lot of ground on Kyle Allen. And Kyle Allen's a good quarterback in his own right.
I want to kind of switch gears a little bit here and talk about the offense in general and Jake Spavital's evolution of the air raid, if we're going to keep calling it that or ever want to call it. But every, you know, and you try not to read too much into it because we don't get to see a whole lot, but every scrimmage highlight tape, every video that 12fan.com has put out, and the plays that we got to see yesterday, this A&M offense, which last year, in the last few years, has looked more Texas Tech and West Virginia, all of a sudden looks a little more like Auburn. So we're seeing a lot of zone read. We're seeing some zone read package plays with some passes thrown in there also. Is this the evolution we think they're going to make, or is this something that you just think maybe they're trying out in camp? But it seems like, you know, not only are they going to try to run the ball more, but the zone read type stuff, and even passes off the zone read type stuff, looks like it's going to be a much bigger part of the offense this year.
I think you have to, because if you're going to get that physical up front and you're going to stress things like three-point stances and guys running in between the A and B gaps, you have to have a running element, and it can't just be you know, the inside zone play that, you know, is a staple of the air raid system. You have to find other ways to do it. And I think this, you know, this is one thing that I've been interested about, and I asked Jake about this, you know, a few weeks back about how much this program has evolved under Kevin Sumlin, because I think you have a lot of coaches that stick to what they do and are happy with it and want to stick to that one thing. I mean, Kevin's more of a CEO type, so I don't know that he's always been a one-back coach, but I don't know that he's necessarily married to the air raid, even though it's been what his teams have run throughout his head coaching career. He's worked in enough systems to where I think he's cognizant of the fact that there's more than one way to skin a cat, and I think just because you're an air raid-based principal team doesn't mean that has to be everything you do. I think all these guys from this tree, Cliff Kingsbury, Dana Holgorsen, Jake, you know, Shannon Dawson, they all have their own spins, and they all evolve the offense in their own little way. And I think in order for them to be successful, they have to be able to run the football. You look at those first two seasons, and Johnny was on campus, but they ran the ball really well as a team, yards per carry those 2 years. And that is what helps move the chains. That's what helps keep that offense going and humming and makes it easier. Because when you get to the situations you had last season where they couldn't run the ball, you become pretty damn predictable. And I think that is a natural evolution to start doing some more of that stuff. And I think it has to happen because there's no other way. This is the same pretty much group of backs they've had the last couple of years. And what they've done before didn't really get positive results, so they got to change it somehow.
Sam, could you see that maybe that's an avenue for Murray to get on the field for a couple series every half, and even though he would also throw, but he would just have a little more run package than maybe Allen would or not?
I could see him in a play-by-play scenario getting in. I couldn't see Kyler coming in for a whole series. I don't think that's how they operate. I don't imagine Favreau's going to have Kyle Allen, you know, sitting on the bench for an entire series with a true freshman running out there. That's just, you know, if that's what ends up happening, if Kyle Allen is a starter and Kyler's a backup, I just don't see it in a series-by-series basis, because I think also they've always been the type to say, this is our guy, this is the guy we're rolling with. Kyler's skill set with his feet is unique enough to where I think you can run that. But the problem with that is if you do that and you bring Kyler in those situations, are you basically telling the opponents that you're running the football? And I think we learned, you know, over throughout Trey Williams' career when he was struggling as a pass blocker and they wouldn't put him in games early in his career, that Kevin Sumlin doesn't like to show his hands to the opponents, and that's why Trey's carries were down at, you know, early in his career, because he was having trouble picking up blitzes or defend, you know, picking up linebackers coming on blitzes. And I think it's the way Kevin, you always put it, was that if Trey's in the game, then they know we're going to run the ball because of his pass protection deficiencies. In that same way, if that's what they use Kyler for, well, yes, I could see it happen. I think it would be, in a way, it would be giving away too much. And I think Kyle Allen runs the ball pretty well in his own, you know, on his own right. We saw him run for that touchdown in the Liberty Bowl, and I think his ability is good enough to make some things happen with his feet. I think it's possible. I just don't see it on a series-by-series basis. I think it's a thing where, you know, hey, if it looks like we can get a quick advantage here, then let's go ahead and do it, and do it, you know, one play here, one play there.
Sam, last thing, real quick. Anything so far in camp, anything they said, anything so far that surprises you at all?
No, not really. I think, I will say this. I think the offensive line hasn't really been talked about a whole lot, and I think it has a chance to be really good. There's a lot of veterans up there. I'm certainly curious to see how Avery Genesee does stepping in at left tackle. But, you know, with Mike Matthews back, with Jermaine Ifedi at right tackle, and you've got some veterans, you know, at the guard spots, I think this line has the potential to be good. Last year they were below expectations. I think no one's really talking about them too much this year, and I think they have a chance to be pretty good.
There we go. Sam, thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you again next week.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Sam.
Always good to get Khan's perspective. Let's go to break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the first hour. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Dixie Tire Company in downtown Bryan has the best set of tires to fit your vehicle and your pocketbook. For a complete line of tires in stock, stop by Dixie Tire Company on William Joel Bryant or call them at 775-8473. That's 775-TIRE.
Give your truck authority. Texas Truck Riggins will help you hook up your rig the way you want it with a wide variety of truck accessories, spray-in bed liners, grill guards, toolboxes, goosenecks, and more. The best products well within your budget. We can also powder coat patio furniture, old iron beds, and wheels, just to name a few. All with quick turnaround and straightforward answers to your questions. Visit Texas Truck Riggins on South College Street across from the Lake of the Bryan Municipal Golf Course. Find us on Facebook or visit us at txtruckriggins.com.
Get an all-access pass to your Texas Rangers like never before with the brand new podcast, Dugout Dirt. Dugout Dirt is a baseball podcast about everything that happens outside the chalk lines.
The best compliments are when I receive a message from a blind person who says, I feel like I can see the game.
From the front office to the grounds crew, Dugout Dirt's mission is to tell the stories of the people that make the Texas Rangers a great organization. Listen online at texasrangers.com/podcast or subscribe to Texas Rangers podcasts on iTunes.
Hot is here. What did you expect in the Brazos Valley in August? But Rattlers has great food and drink specials to fill you up and quench your thirst. Check out these great specials. Jimmy Dean Blazing Hot Sandwich and any size fountain drink or coffee, only $2. Or a fully loaded ballpark hot dog, only $1 with your registered Rattlers Rewards card. Be sure to stop by after work for an 18-pack of ice-cold beer from the fine families of beer from Bud, Miller, and Coors, only $15.99. Rattlers. Friendly, clean, Texan.
If you watch TV, listen to the radio, go to the movies, or simply hear people talking, you hear about prescription drugs and their effects. Sometimes these are portrayed as safe or as something that is meant for a good time. Actually, nothing could be farther from the truth. Prescription drugs are prescribed by a doctor with one person in mind and one reason in mind. That reason is to treat someone for an illness or injury. If you abuse your or someone else's medicine, this could be a prescription for disaster. For more information, call 979-846-3560.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
On Sports Talk, Chip and Krista discuss Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux's surprise wedding.
I don't know if Justin hangs out with the same crowd that Jennifer does. That could be a problem in the future. Mm-hmm. What does Justin do?
I don't know. Isn't he an actor?
No, I think he's a gaffer. I don't know. I have no idea what he does. No clue.
I don't know.
I think it's going to last forever, though.
Sports Talk, tying the knot of truth tighter and tighter. Weekdays from 4 to 6 on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Robert Sesta wrapping up the first hour. Cease, let's give the people. I don't know if we have the music thing queued up or not. So I'm just gonna say it. I'm gonna say it, and then we'll see if we've got it. And today, if not, I'm just gonna read it off. It's today's. Yeah. It's today in Aggie history. See what I'm like. Oh, we do have it. Hey, there we go.
And now today in Aggie history.
I couldn't remember if I put it on the second version of the email or not. I wrote the email out.
These guys are sharp.
Well, I wrote the email out, and then Uri was going to be outside to rewrite it, and then I couldn't remember if I put it on there or not. So, they got it over there. Today's Today in Ag History, August 18th, 1962. A&M men's head men's swimming coach Jay Holmes. Apparently, I can't get that right. Jay Holmes was born, so he graduated from A&M in 84. So there you go. He was at A&M for a while. He was the Big 12 Coach of the Year in 2004-2005. So there you go. Cool. He 1962. And August 18th, 1938, Edward C. Pete Aldridge Jr. was born. There you go. He worked at the Department of Defense, Secretary of the Air Force. There you go. 2003, the Undersecretary of Defense.
Did not know that.
So you did not. You didn't
so
know.
So that's why I was listening.
Yeah. That's today is today in Aggie history.
And Holmes probably didn't know that he was born on the same date as that guy.
It's always no. Now they well.
Do you know what famous people were born on the day you were born?
No.
That's always good to know.
I don't think anyone was born on July 10th except for me. I'm the most famous person born that day.
Nick Saban and I share the same birthday.
Well, there you go. That's a wise birthday, apparently. So there you go. That's today in Aggie history. We were talking a little bit, you know, with Sam about the offensive line, and I almost think the opposite because no one's talking about him because the coaches aren't talking about him. I almost wonder if they're not very good. Everything we hear is how good the defensive line looks. That makes me wonder if they're not quite up to speed.
Well, I wouldn't read that into it because, once again, is we're not out there. It's just, okay, being out there yesterday for like eight plays, I thought the defensive line got good pressure, you know, right off the snap. Both groups. But once again, he can't base it on six or seven plays.
Well, no, that's why I was saying the coaches haven't been talking about him much. You know, and like Sam said, he said we haven't heard much about the offensive line. That makes me wonder if they're a little shaky.
And that goes back to is until they become better at the running game, they're not better.
And so, maybe that's why they're working all these jet sweeps, trying to get out of the backfield as quickly as possible.
So I just got to wait and see because I said all along, I think I'm with Sam. I think the running game will be much better. I think the line will be much better. But until I see it, I went back. You know, you look ahead, and I got to laugh because I went back and read my column last year leading in. I said, yeah, I guarantee you one thing, the defense will be better. Okay, they went from 109 to 102. I was right.
They were better.
I was right.
They were better.
That wasn't a resounding right, though.
No,
you know, it's like
it was technically right.
It was technically right, but Mark Snyder's up. It's a lot cooler there where he's at because it wasn't what we all thought.